Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.
Good afternoon and happy Monday to you. I hope I find you well. Thanks for joining me, Ciara Noble, here on this afternoon's Kildare Focus, the first of the week, a week closer to Christmas. I suppose we're always a week closer to Christmas. Coming up on this afternoon's show, HICWA, they have published a review on the duration of immunity. This is following COVID-19 vaccination. Own caught up with Dr. Mark O'Loughlin. Adrian Weckler will join me. He's the tech editor of the Irish Independent, on the price hikes on the way for Vodafone and Air customers. Anne Conroy, she's the chief executive of Lekela. It's a youth mentoring charity and it has seen a 31% increase in demand for support over the past year. Not much of a surprise, unfortunately. Brian Farrell is a spokesperson of the Road Safety Authority. You may have heard Kildare will be issued a yellow weather warning tomorrow. This is in terms of the arrival of Storm Barra, now orange elsewhere, more west and south of the country. So Brian will have some road safety advice for you. And we'll also be speaking with the chief executive of the Small Firms Association, which is Fenn Spallan Berens. And of course, I want to hear from you this afternoon. Please do get in touch with me. The number to get in touch on is 0833 97 97 97, our WhatsApp, and our text line is in association with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, of course. And you can also call in. Caoimhe Harney will be on the phone at 045 901 490, and email studio@kfmradio.com. I forgot the email. There you go, studio@kfmradio.com.
There's KFM. Great music.
Well, the Health Information and Quality Authority, HICWA, has published three reviews on the duration of immunity following COVID-19 vaccination to inform the work of the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, or NIAC. And joining me on the line now to discuss this is Dr. Mark O'Loughlin. He's a Public Health Fellow in HICWA. Good afternoon, Mark, and welcome to the programme.
Thank you. HICWA has published three reviews which were aiming to assess the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccination. So our initial review assessed the duration of immunity in all populations over the age of 12, and then we performed updates for those who are healthcare workers and those with underlying medical conditions. So HICWA has been involved in a number of ongoing reviews to aid NEFIS in identifying aspects of the COVID-19 national response that require further clarity or require additional information. So this is the first review that we've undertaken assessing the duration of the immunity of vaccination. And this is because it is really only now that data is beginning to emerge as to the immunity over a good time course.
And just remind us exactly how this review was carried out. What was the process?
So we used a number of scientific databases to identify published and pre-published literature assessing the duration of vaccine effectiveness on an international basis. Studies were conducted in a variety of countries. The United States and the United Kingdom represented a significant bulk of these studies and involved millions of people. In fact, the largest study alone involved about 4.8 million people. And all of these studies were extracted and were quality appraised and had the data extracted, and we would have assessed this. And what we found when we conducted that review is that although there was a risk of breakthrough infection that did increase over time, COVID-19 vaccination does provide high levels of protection against severe disease and mortality in particular for at least 6 months. And there were some studies in that that did suggest that there could be a waning protection, especially for older adults and those with immunocompromising conditions. And this would be particularly of concern because these would be the populations with a higher baseline risk to begin with.
And I'm sure now this is the reason that we're starting to see the booster vaccinations particularly being rolled out to those cohorts that you mentioned, Mark. Were you looking at any specific vaccination or type of vaccine, or was it just immunity in general?
So we were assessing immunity in general following the full course of any of the four vaccines that were used in Ireland. And our specific focus was on the populations rather than any one specific vaccine.
And also, over the last number of months, we've seen the emergence of new variants. I'm sure that'll be a cause for concern, particularly for the vaccinations. But the initial news that we're getting from that seems to be quite positive.
So it's still very early in the since the new variant was identified to be able to speak with confidence about any particular features of it or what impact it might have. COVID-19, as we know, is still, for the most part, quite a novel disease and has a rapidly evolving evidence base. So it's going to require some time before we'll be able to assess the impact of what the new variant may have on vaccination or what the clinical features of the new variant may be. And we'll have to update our evidence and our reports as necessary on an ongoing basis.
And finally, that was, you just preempted the final question that I was going to put to you, Mark. Is this something that HICWA is going to monitor on an ongoing basis and perhaps 6 months down the line again take a look at how immunity is developing after booster vaccinations?
So HICWA will be continuing to liaise with the Department of Health to identify the most pertinent and most important research questions that can be identified to support the national COVID-19 response. And what the questions that are identified, HICWA will do a thorough evidence review and synthesis and provide that advice back to NPHET as required. So any ongoing issues in terms of the impact of new variants, vaccination, etc., HICWA will be one of the many stakeholders and teams that are prepared to engage NPHET to support them, to help them to combat the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, you can get more details on this report on the HICWA website, and of course, for public health advice, go on to www.hse.ie. But for the moment on that, Dr. Mark O'Loughlin is a public health fellow in HICWA. Mark, many thanks for that this afternoon and good afternoon to you.
Now, I believe Adrian Weckler, technology editor with the Irish Independent, is on the line. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Good afternoon, Ciara.
So we don't have great news for listeners. There is an increase for two Irish mobile service providers, Vodafone and Air, an increase in the amount people will be paying.
Yeah, it's actually Vodafone at three. So basically, a couple of months ago, Vodafone announced kind of a startling price increase. Really, they said from next April, they were going to start putting the price of their bill pay services up by 3% plus whatever the inflation rate is. So at the moment, the inflation rate is 5%.
Yeah.
So as it stands at the moment, if you have a Vodafone bill pay plan, and that would be something like if you're buying an iPhone or a Samsung or something, and if you're on an upgrade, if you're on a subsidized phone plan, that'll be on a bill pay plan with Vodafone. Your bill is going to go up by 8% next April. Now, three, not to be outdone, announced last week that they also are going to start putting their prices up next April, so every April from now on, by 4.5%. They're not messing around with inflation rates or anything. They just say, no, we're going to put it up by 4.5%. So you now have the two biggest mobile operators, which have something around two-thirds of the market, maybe 65% of the market here, have basically decided that every April your bill is going to go up.
Okay, why?
Between. Well, they say that they tried out the usual line, which is to invest in, you know, network quality and expansion and all that kind of stuff. I suppose, to be fair to them, and I'm not one for giving them much leeway, I'm always hammering mobile networks. You in their defense, you might say that mobile bills in general have come down a lot in the last 7 or 8 years. So if you were on a bill pay package, for example, say 7 or 8 years ago, you would have been expecting to pay 50, 60, 70 euro a month. That was what a lot of people paid at that time. Now it's closer to 40 euro, something like that. And that is despite inflation and everything else. So in real terms, the price of mobile has probably come down by about half. And by the way, that's just bill pay. If you're actually sensible and you are doing it the right way, you buy your phone separately and you use one of the excellent cut price services, which are run by the same networks anyway. So Air uses GOMO, that's 15 quid a month. Three uses 48. That's 11 euro per month for all of your data and your calls. And the same for Vodafone.
Because
Mobile, 15 euro a month.
I just recently changed my phone and I was quite stupid and I had a conversation with my friend and she told me how much she was paying each month for her phone bill. And because of the provider of her internet services, she was getting it for, I think, 12 euro a month, just the phone bill. And there are some really great prices out there. We just assume that we need to be paying the higher prices, especially when it comes to bill pay or if you are getting an upgrade of your phone. And look, the truth is we really don't need the top of the range phones anymore. They're not that different from each other.
No, the only reason that most, there are two reasons why people stick with the current system of bill pay, and you sort of hit the nail on the head there. One is they're in an upgrade cycle, and I wouldn't dismiss that entirely. So if you're in an upgrade cycle, you typically will have a choice of getting a new phone. Maybe it's not the absolute top phone, but it's a nice phone. You'll typically get that for anywhere between, say, 99 quid and 199 quid. Now, a lot of people don't have 600 or 700, 800 euro or 1,000 euro to splash out on a new phone so that they can take advantage of the budget bills. The problem with doing that is that over the 2 year contract period, you do pay more,
so
but it's less upfront.
Actually, in regards to that, right, I did that this time and the time before with my bill phone and I added it up and I actually was paying less than it would cost me to buy the phone outright.
There's no way that could be true. If you give me the example of the phone and the bill, I would be fascinated by that because I've been right.
Well, I tell you,
every year I do an exercise in this, and every year it always goes one way.
Yeah, I tell you. So basically, for the first 6 months, I was able to get some sort of discount, whatever the rate was, and that added to it. And I think the difference was something like 150 euro less because I did it that way, paying my bill pay month by month. Now, taking into account, I would have put aside, would say, without the bill pay, 15 or 20 euro for prepay if I had bought the phone outright. But there, it doesn't seem like there's as much of a difference as there once was.
Typically, let's take a normal phone that a lot of people would buy, right? So if you say an iPhone 13, okay? Now, that's a flagship phone, but it's not at the absolute top end. Say an iPhone 13 mini, that's 800 quid to buy outright, okay? That's a lot of money, right? But that's the price of a new phone. If you buy that phone, and if you get that on an upgrade with a, you know, Vodafone, Three, Air, or any of the others, typically, over the period of your two years, you will pay something in the order of about 1,700 or 1,800 euro. You'll pay the 800 euro, and you'll pay something like, you know, 800 euro again, or something, or 900 euro in your bill pay. If you buy that phone outright, and you go with, you know, GOMO, Clear Mobile, 48.a, or even on Puss Mobile, which by the way is a good deal as well, you'll end up paying about 1,300 over the two years.
Then what about if you do buy a phone outright then, and even on bill pay, a lot of people would be thinking about insurance, especially if it's a newer phone. Is it worth it? And how do we take that into account?
Two answers to that. If you're the type of person like my mother who drops her phone about once every 5 months, yes, it is worth it. Okay?
Okay.
If you're not, if you're fairly careful, it's not worth it.
Really?
Because what are you paying? You're paying like 15 euro a month or something.
But accidents can happen. That's the thing
in
the back of my
head.
Absolutely. So I'm like...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, you have to look at the small print as well. A lot of insurance won't... Some insurance claims won't cover things like certain types of damage to the screen. Some of them won't cover things like certain types of water damage. You have to look at the small print there as well. And by the way, replacing the screen on one of the new phones, I mentioned an iPhone 13 there, like that's 350 quid or something. And it's massive money.
Yeah, it's crazy
to replace those screens. So look, if you are the kind of person who does, who is want to damaging their phone, then yes, it's worth it. If not, just buy a bloody cover for 30 euro.
Okay, good advice. So listen, going ahead, should Air and Vodafone customers be looking elsewhere in the next couple of weeks
Three.
To change the provider? Sorry, Vodafone and Three, apologies. Should they, Adrian? Should they be looking elsewhere for the next couple of days?
Oh, I'm sorry. They should, absolutely. So here's my basic rule of thumb when it comes to those operators. Three, by and large, is reasonably decent value. Vodafone is by far the most expensive on the market for what you get, for what you get, it's most expensive. Vodafone also owns Clear Mobile, which gives you access to the same network for half the price. I'd consider that. You won't get upgrades, you won't get subsidized phones, but I would consider, if you're on Three or Vodafone, it's an excellent time right now to go looking at that. I put a guide up actually on independent.ie as to what those best options are, what my choices are.
Okay, I need to read your guides more, Adrian, because I'm definitely somebody who needs advice on this. Listen, thank you very much. The tech editor of the Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, there on the increases for Vodafone and Three customers. And I've just got a text in here on 0833 97 97 97, and I don't know the person's name, but thank you so much for getting in touch. And I'm very jealous. This person is with 48 and pay €8 a month, no other or hidden bills. Now, in regards to that, do you get data for, like, you know, unlimited data? I'm not good with these deals. I need to get a good deal. Anyway, coming up after the break, we're going to be speaking with the chief executive in Ireland in March 2020. Joining me now is Anne Conroy, who's the chief executive of Lokela. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Ciara.
And to begin, just let us know exactly what Lokela is and what the charity does.
Sure. Lokela Mentoring, it's a national NGO, a national charity. We have staff employed and we have over 250 volunteer mentors throughout the country. And we provide mentoring for young people and their parents, where young people have been involved in offending or are at risk of getting into trouble. And young people are generally referred to us by the probation service or the Gardaí. And we match young people with a mentor. And the mentors, you know, they meet the young person and try and encourage kind of more positive behaviour, maybe some positive changes in the young person's life, and provide support generally.
Now, I mentioned the 31% increase there during the pandemic. Has this been the biggest increase that has been in place since the beginning of the charity?
Absolutely. Yeah, we noticed a huge increase in the number of contacts that we have between the young people and the mentors.
And is there a reason for that, Anne?
I think young people, especially in the early restrictions, both young people and parents were, you know, finding the whole situation very challenging, as everybody was. But I suppose the young people that we're dealing with, quite often they're not in school or in training or in employment, and the lack of routine certainly affected them. A lot of services, maybe support services that they might otherwise be part of, were closed. And likewise, parents found that things are very isolated. You know, people living maybe in overcrowded conditions just felt very much kind of on their own, and a lot of anxiety, you know, for young people and parents.
And obviously here it says that those young people and their parents have been involved in the criminal justice system. When you say criminal justice system, can you be more specific? What exactly, what kind of offences are we speaking? Is this hardcore, or is this more smaller, I guess, lighter offending?
Well, the young people generally would have been before the courts, you know, for offences, and they would have got probation from the court. So they would be for less serious crimes. And it, you know, some cases it might be a first offence. In other cases, you know, there are a number of offences. I suppose in Lokela we believe everyone deserves a second chance, and that kind of philosophy is kind of part of the approach with young people and trying to encourage young people, because generally young people, if they're getting in trouble with the law, things are not going great in their own lives anyway, and it is trying to kind of support them to look at what's going on for themselves and, you know, make some positive changes. And we find it works very well for many young people. That kind of relationship with a mentor can be really helpful to them.
Just discussing the mentor here, it does note that some of the volunteers spoke about serious at-risk situation impacting the young people they were mentoring, and in particular mental health difficulties. And again, something we've heard time and time again, the lack of access to specialised support services.
Yes, certainly. We found that some of the young people that we'd work with would have mental health difficulties anyway. And I think then during COVID that was accentuated, plus a lot of services were closed. So there's a kind of an additional lack of access to services, such as counselling and addiction services. And some of the young people were involved in very at-risk situations during COVID, you know, including self-harm, and indeed, sadly, some tragic deaths happened during that time as well. So, you know, we're very conscious of that, and I suppose we always kind of take the view, we'll always kind of do everything we can to kind of keep connection with young people and try and make contact with them. And even though we had to have mentoring on the phone kind of during the first lockdown, after that we kind of were able to get back to face-to-face mentoring. And the feedback from young people is that they found that really helpful.
And how can people get in touch with Lekela?
Our website is lekela.ie, and if I can spell Lekela, L-E-C-H-E-I-L-E, it's the Irish for together. And that the website is there with lots of information. We have a service in County Kildare, and we will be recruiting some new volunteers in January. So anybody who thinks they might be interested or want to find out more, if you visit the website, and you'll find out lots of more information there.
And where is your service based in the county?
The office is actually based in the Midlands in Port Leash, but that service covers Kildare, Leash and Offaly.
And the whole county of Kildare, is it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Brilliant. And Conroy, the Chief Executive of Lekela, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon discussing the youth mentoring charity. As we said, over 30% increase in demand for support over the past year mightn't be much of a surprise to people.
Well, Ciara, it seems as though we might have to batten down the hatches for the next 24 hours or thereabouts, because an orange weather warning has been issued for Tuesday and Tuesday night due to Storm Barra. Southerly winds, later becoming northwesterly, will reach mean speeds of 65 to 80 kilometres per hour, with severe or damaging gusts of up to 130 kilometres per hour, possibly higher in coastal areas. Now, the affected counties there include Clare, Cork, Galway, Kerry and Limerick, all those along the west coast. For us here in Kildare, the surrounding counties and the rest of the country, a yellow warning has been issued for Tuesday and for a time on Wednesday, as Storm Barra brings very strong winds and spells of heavy rain across Ireland. Of course, that will mean that driving conditions will be difficult as well. And joining me on the line now is spokesperson for the Road Safety Authority, Brian Farrell. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Owen.
It's been a while, I suppose, since we've had really, really bad weather, and we haven't had that many storms over the last while. We were blessed with some good weather over the summer, but coming in now to the Christmas period, the weather is due to get worse, and it starts now with Storm Barra. So what advice have you got for us?
Yeah, Owen, and that's a really important point you make. We haven't really been exposed to these kind of severe weather events in a while, and it has the potential to maybe catch us off guard a bit. So we really do need to take this warning seriously. As you said, it's an orange warning for wind and rain in western areas and western counties. And it looks like we could even have it updated to a red status warning in parts of the south southwest. So, you know, rest of the country, yellow warning. So we really do need to take heed when Meteiron put these warnings out. And if you are in Kildare, I mean, the risk is of strong winds. It still has the potential to bring down trees and debris and I suppose cause difficulties for road users in terms of blocked roads and the dangers just posed in general from fallen debris. But there's also a risk as well of some flooding. The danger, you know, from that situation is on high-speed roads of aquaplaning, and that's where, you know, the you just lose traction completely with the road, and it's almost like the water acts as a film of ice between your tyre and the road. And I suppose off the main routes on country roads, on regional roads where there are dips in the road, you know, the risk is of ponding there and accumulations of water. And you really do have to be on guard on situations like that. And we've always advised this, that you don't try and drive through flooded roads, because you know, it could be much, much deeper than you think, and it could be hiding you know debris or hidden dangers, and it could also damage, of course, your engine irreparably. So you know, always take a detour, and you know, don't forget as well that when the storm passes on, you know, the danger doesn't pass either, because the roads could have debris, they could be blocked, they could be flooded, and we still need to be on guard even when the danger passes.
Yeah, so along with the rain, we're going to have very strong winds, and myself, I'm a motorbike driver, Brian, so I think I might have to leave the motorbike at home tomorrow and get a lift in the car, because strong winds, particularly cross winds, are very, very dangerous for the likes of motorcyclists, cyclists in general, and other road users need to be aware of that.
Yeah, particularly, you know, on exposed routes like the M7, on motorways, on dual carriageways, you know, there is a danger of crosswinds. So if you're in a high-sided vehicle, truck or a bus, you could be affected by crosswinds like that. But you're absolutely right, Owen. If you're a motorcyclist, it might you know, you might need to be thinking about, you know, is it the safest thing for me to do to go out and bike in those kind of conditions? And it might just mean delaying your journey until the immediate danger has passed. And of course, we always recommend that you stay tuned to your local radio station to get, you know, find out what the local traffic and weather situations are like. You'll get the updates and you'll know when it's when the danger has passed. But of course, that would also apply to cyclists and pedestrians. You know, tonight and certainly tomorrow may not be the day to be out cycling or going for a walk. It might be a bad idea to consider just postponing it.
Absolutely. And Dara O'Dea in the morning on The Breakfast Show will have those traffic updates that Brian mentioned, and also Paul Power on K-Drive driving you home in the evening. Just finally then, Brian, a couple of other tips to remind people of, and I'm sure a lot of people would be aware of these from doing the theory test or doing the driving test. But for example, if you drive through water, it's important to try and dry off the brakes if you can, to tap the brake pedal possibly, and also to drive with dip headlights as well at all times to increase your visibility.
No, absolutely. They're a really, really important piece of advice. If, you know, if you've been through water, drive slowly with your foot on the brake pedal for a short distance, and this helps to dry the brakes. And of course, you know, in periods of really bad, poor weather, you know, lighting conditions are poor. It's really important that you're seen when you're out on the road. So using your dipped headlights, and that's in addition maybe to your DRLs, your daytime running lights as well that you have probably on the car, but put on the dipped headlights as well. And of course, as I said, remember that, you know, the situation, once the weather has passed, may not be safe on the road. So just be aware of that with fallen debris on the roads. And I suppose another important message is to heed any messages that the guards and the local authority is putting out in relation to road closures and detours. They're there for a reason. Don't put yourself and others at risk and have the emergency services going out to rescue from a situation you should really never have gotten yourself in the first place. So heed any local authority and Garda messages on detours and road closures.
And for more road safety advice, you can visit the RSA website, rsa.ie, or for weather updates, of course, Met Éireann's website is www.met.ie, and we will, of course, keep you up to date here on KFM as well. But for the moment, Brian Farrell, spokesperson for the Road Safety Authority, thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thank you.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.
Tina has been in touch on 0833 97 97 97, and Tina, now that you've said it, I can totally hear it, and I think we're going to ruin this song for so many people. I'm sorry, but Tina said she loves Elton John and Ed Sheeran, and I think everybody does love Ed Sheeran in particular, and obviously Elton John has some bangers, but that new song of theirs, Merry Christmas, the Christmas song obviously, has undertones of Father Ted's My Lovely Horse. And she says, just know I totally hear the undertones of My Lovely Horse, but I love My Lovely Horse. That's a great song. Thank you so much for getting in touch, Tina, and I think we may have ruined that for a lot of people. Now, obviously, Christmas time is one of those times of year when, you know, so many people are out and about and we know all the rest. But the COVID supports now that we're hearing about new restrictions is something that is on a lot of businesses' minds, if not all. Joining me is the Small Firms Association Director, Sven Spallen Behrens. Good afternoon, Sven, and thanks so much for the time.
Ciara, good afternoon to you too.
So you're calling at the SFA for the full reinstatement of the financial reports, supports, I should say, for COVID-19. This is in response to, obviously, the recent announcement of the reintroduction of COVID restrictions. So just go back over it there, Sven, the specific supports you're speaking about being reinstated.
So just to reinforce that the small business community is really mindful of the need to comply with public health guidelines and help to do their part to reduce the spread of COVID in the community and in our country. But if small businesses or businesses in general are being forced to either close completely or operate at reduced capacity, then the onus must be on governments to ensure that these businesses are adequately supported. And strangely enough, or as really bad timing had it, the EWSS, the Employment Wage Subsidy Scheme, was tapered off basically the moment government announced new restrictions on Friday last. And there's two things around the EWSS. This was probably the single most impactful tool that government used to support the business community. And there's two things that need to come into play. One, we should really review it being not tapered off, as in should be reinstated to the full amount. And secondly, it was April 2022 that government initially said this is when it's going to be completely phased out. We need to review this and we need to extend this again and make it available for much longer into next year, because COVID is going to stay with us, unfortunately, for a good part of 2022. And there was another support scheme, the COVID restriction support scheme, that was basically being phased out at the end of the year, and we really need to put this back in place. And furthermore, it needs to be redesigned in such a way that it covers many more businesses, because there's so many businesses that don't qualify for other schemes at the moment because they're not fully shut, or they're part of a supply chain. Take, for instance, the dry cleaner that services the office communities. The offices, there's nobody working in them, only or skeleton staff working in the offices. So this business is completely gone. Or businesses that are working in the catering sector and specialized in looking after the office community. That's gone as well, but currently there's no support for them. So in short, EWSS needs to be reinstated to the full amount and needs to be extended well into next year. The COVID restriction support scheme needs to be extended and needs to be reformed in such a way that it covers businesses that are currently not covered. And we could also look at revenue warehousing, but the point is, now is really time to act, and now is the time to support small businesses, because it's a really critical time of the year for them.
Sven, obviously without giving names or anything in particular with that, just relay some of the testimonies as the director of the Small Firms Association that you're hearing from businesses.
So what we're hearing from business, well, we remember two weeks ago we had Black Friday, and we painted Black Friday green, and we can really see that there's this wave of support from customers for our small businesses. Then again, with the reimposed restrictions, you hear a lot from restaurants where tables are being cancelled, Christmas parties are being cancelled, whole contracts disappearing. When the capacity reduces, then revenue reduces as well. For some businesses, the Christmas periods, the 6 weeks before Christmas and then into New Year, make up for more than 50% of them. So really busy times for them. And this couldn't have happened at a worse time for many small businesses.
Okay, yes, and especially obviously over the past 18, 19 months, it's been very difficult, and it's something that it's hard for people to see light at the end of the tunnel. But if there are any small businesses listening, Sven, and they are currently not a member of the SFA or do want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing so?
So very simple, just email sven@sfa.ie, or we have a support program for the small business community to help them through tough times. This program is called Mentors Work. We give you a mentor for a period of 12 weeks free of charge. We have extended the deadline for applications in light of the new restrictions until the end of next week. So just simply go to mentorswork.ie and you get really the support that you need.
Okay, great to hear. Great to hear that there is support out there for the small businesses, of which there are so many across the county of Kildare. And the director of the Small Firms Association, Sven Spollenbarens, thank you very much. And of course, a Merry Christmas to you. And hopefully it'll be something a little bit brighter next year when it comes to the small firms across this country. Just to remind people about Storm Barra. So there is a status orange wind warning from 6 a.m. tomorrow. That's for Clare, Limerick, Waterford, Galway, Mayo and Wexford. But now that is also applying to Dublin, Louth, Wicklow and East Meath from 8 a.m. in the morning. So I could assume that County Kildare might be affected by that in the next few hours. Maybe upgraded to orange at the moment. Kildare is under a yellow status weather warning alert for tomorrow alongside the rest of the country. But those counties that I've mentioned have a status orange wind warning in place from 6 a.m. tomorrow, and Dublin, Louth, Wicklow and East Meath from 8 a.m. So if you are someone commuting to Dublin, Wicklow, or East Meath, obviously do be aware of that. Thank you very much for listening this afternoon. Thank you so much to Owen Beattie and of course to Caoimhe Harney, and we will speak with you again at 2 o'clock and of course in the morning. Take care and have a lovely Monday evening.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.